Few acts of defiance burn as brightly or cost as much as state legislators fleeing their own turf to grind the gears of government to a halt. The roots of quorum breaking run deep in the Lone Star State. In 1870, 13 Texas senators bolted from the Capitol to block a bill granting the governor wartime powers. Dubbed the Rump Senate Incident, the fleeing lawmakers were rounded up, but their act set a precedent for using absence as a weapon. Fast forward to 1979, when the Killer Bees, 12 Democratic state senators, hid out for 4 days in a garage to derail a primary election shift favoring the GOP. And this stunt ended up costing roughly $94,000 to $188,000. In 2003, you might remember, Texas Democrats, nicknamed the Killer Dees, fled to Oklahoma and New Mexico to stall a Republican redistricting plan, costing $9 to $10.7 million in 2025 dollars. And in 2021, they jetted to D.C. for a 38-day stand against a voting restrictions bill. Over 50 lawmakers took private jets to D.C. that cost anywhere between $100,000 and $150,000 round trip. When it was all said and done, the Democrats' hissy fit cost roughly $5.6 million. Each time, the gambit delayed the inevitable as Republican majorities eventually pushed through their agendas. This game of scattering doesn't work, but these stunts cost a lot of money. And now in 2025, roughly 57 Texas House Democrats scattered to Illinois to block a Trump-backed redistricting map that could hand the GOP 5 more congressional seats. The costs for the most recent debacle are reportedly covered by Democratic fundraising efforts, including contributions from Beto O'Rourke's Powered by People in a PAC backed by George Soros. Now under investigation by the Texas Attorney General, estimates suggest a need for $1 million per month to sustain the quorum break.
The architecture was set up by Barack Obama to spread cash around the country and to put money into political action committees, into non-government organizations to fund candidates. So what we're talking about here, Grant, is wholesale fraud, where the money is distributed by ACT Blue officers. And now, because we're not federal law enforcement, we don't know exactly where it went. But that's why we've turned it over to U.S. attorneys.
They stole 20 or 30 House seats by counting illegal aliens in the census. And now you have Democrats talking about, oh, Republicans can't change their congressional maps. You have literally brought invaders into this country by the tens of millions to rig the results of the census and the apportionment of our congressional seats.
These stunts rally the base, or so they think. They attract national attention and pressure opponents while burning through hundreds of thousands of dollars in donor cash. But they also expose a deeper flaw, a political system where fleeing the state becomes a substitute for substantive debate. They're burning their party to the ground. Their historical role in pioneering race-based gerrymandering could now cost them districts across the United States.
If you look at what's going on with the redistricting or whatever you want to call it, the Democrats have done it long before we started. They've done it all over the place.
If the 2025 map passes, Democrats could lose not just Texas seats, but face similar GOP-drawn maps in states like Florida and Georgia, shrinking their House presence. The Democratic Party is dying by its own sword. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning! Morning!
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning! Morning!
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning! 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 Morning!
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Monday, August 11th in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Very happy to be here with you today. It's a very big weekend. I was lucky enough to attend Ron Paul's 90th birthday party, the barbecue. It was absolutely fantastic. It was great meeting so many of you guys out there. The event was just mind-blowing. It was a who's who in the Liberty Movement. I was about to start listing names, but there were too many to remember. And if you want some inspiration, I suggest you go watch some of the speeches from the live stream. Because my big takeaway from it all was, who else at 90 years old has hundreds of people fly from all over the country to hear you speak? Who can even give an extemporaneous speech for 30 minutes at 90 years old, surrounded by family? It was just, it's like beyond description how powerful it was as an example of what can happen when you have principles and stick to them and are a decent person and treat people well. Ron Paul truly is a great man, and it's evidenced by all of the great people around him and all of the, you know, great people inspired by him. I had some great conversations, likes of Jason Jones, lectern guy, Adam. So many others. It was just an awesome event. And again, just a reminder of the principles that got us here, that are slowly but surely winning the day, and how impossible what's happening right now must have seemed not so long ago. And I was posting about this on X, and I had a lot of people trash talking libertarians. And actually, Dave Smith opened up the proceedings. He was the first speaker, and he made an important point that I think needs to be emphasized. There's a difference. There's a tangible difference between libertarianism and what you might call Ron Paulianism. Ron Paulism, something like that. There were no, like, half-naked people wearing a boot on their head at this event, right? There's no crazies. There wasn't the smell of pot smoke in the air. You know, nothing like that. And it was funny, my dad was like, yeah, when I first started going to, you know, Liberty meetings, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was like gay people and people who wanted weed to be legal. Like that was the primary people. But there's a fundamental moral underpinning to the Ron Paul view of the world that I think we all share. And I've been to a few Ron Paul events. I've seen him speak to a few times live. And every time he says something that surprises me in how it doesn't fit in with the characteristic of the, I guess say stereotypical libertarian. Last time was another one of his birthday parties a couple years ago. And I'll never forget. He said, quote, the Constitution is not enough. And it's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, you can't have the Constitution be the only thing in your society. You have to have morals to back it up. The Constitution is a very useful tool, but it's not the only thing. You have to have morality. You have to have a moral population, or else the Constitution sort of just window dressing, which of course echoes what the Founding Fathers said about the Constitution, that it was only appropriate for a wholly moral population and would really be useless any other time. And of course, and you know, he had some similar statements yesterday. Because again, this isn't about libertarianism being like, libertinism, right? Where you just indulge in whatever you want to indulge in. Ron Paul is like the perfect example of a dedicated family man, professional, realist, feet on the ground, head in the clouds. It was a really beautiful thing. And one of the funniest things I thought about it was that here you have this legendary figure. He's turning 90 years old. He goes up to give a speech. And you think maybe it's going to be some reflections on his life, some life lessons. You know, maybe so just what you'd expect from a 90th birthday party. But there's something about great men. They're single-minded. And when you put Ron Paul behind a podium in front of a crowd, the man's going to talk about monetary policy. So he spent the majority of the time talking about monetary policy to the great delight of the crowd, obviously. But for some reason, it reminded me of like Alex Jones, because Alex is the same way. There will be things where people want to interview Alex. They'll be like, I just want to get into you. I want to know what drives you, what you're all about. And Alex is like, you're putting me on camera. I'm spreading my message. He's like, I'm talking about the globalists and how we defeat them. I don't want to talk about me. And you get the same idea from Ron Paul. And it's just there's something about that characteristic that's necessary to drive guys like Ron Paul or Alex Jones, these guys who are really, you know, generational figures. They have that. They are single-minded in a way. And not single-minded. Like, he didn't just talk about, he talked about homeschooling, talked about monetary policy, he talked about, you know, Christianity, he talked about sports and how great he thought the congressional baseball game is, which is particularly ironic that his son was almost murdered at that very game. But of course, Ron Paul sort of harkens back to this old idea of America, where he's like, it was nice because we'd play baseball and we wouldn't talk about politics. He's like, it was really great. Some of the Democrats were actually kind of nice, I realized, on the baseball field. So he had some life lessons in there, too. I just thought it was so funny that it's just like he just gets up and is like, let me tell you about the gold standard. Let me tell you about how I, and he was telling the story of him sort of realizing, you know, his waking up moment under Nixon, I believe. Anyway, it was just absolutely fascinating. It was wonderful to meet so many of you and so many people in this movement. And it was very sort of reinvigorating, a reminder of how many incredible people are working so incredibly hard to end human suffering around the world, to spread freedom, to spread the message, and to carry on the torch of classic patriotic Americana 101. And also, I lined up a lot of great interviews and things in the future. So we'll have Patrick Byrne in studio in the third hour to break some absolutely crazy news. And this actually answers a question I had last week. Last week, Venezuela, America put a $50 million bounty on the president of Venezuela. And in the absence of any stated reason for this sudden and insane development, I looked for the evidence of just contemporary goings on, and it seemed to me like this probably had something to do with Israel. And I think it still does, but there's more to it than that. In fact, there's a missing component of this that is very, very interesting and compelling and changes the whole perspective. And I don't want a spoiler alert, so you'll just have to stay tuned. You'll just have to stay tuned for what's really behind this and how I think it might actually be a good thing. Patrick Byrne will join me in the third hour to talk about that. And then I'll be going on, I believe I'll be going on The Quartering later today with Luke Radowski, I believe. At least he invited me on. So lined up a bunch of great stuff. Awesome to see the community once again and, you know, remind ourselves, Oh, right. I almost forgot. We have literally millions of highly motivated, intelligent, loving Americans out there who just want to save this country from going down the drain. And how can we not achieve that? How can we not achieve that with all the advantages that we have? We got a lot of stories. I mean, We have an insane and frankly irresponsible number of stories to cover from over the weekend, including Grok getting absolutely paranoid, going completely insane, and seeing racism absolutely everywhere. That tying into the way it's now being advised or controlled or whatever you want to call it by the ADL, who have made some kind of hilarious statements over the weekend. We'll investigate some of those. We've got the Democrats flailing and admitting what they plan on doing if they ever get back into power. We've got peace, Trump bringing peace to Azerbaijan and Armenia after 35 years of internecine conflict. We love to see that. And just so much more. So we'll get to as many videos as we can, as many stories as we can, before welcoming Patrick Byrne in the third hour. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 11th of August, 2025. J.D. Vance says, quote, a lot of indictments are coming over 2016 Russia hoax. Vice President J.D. Vance has promised a lot of indictments will be issued over the 2016 Russia collusion hoax that was intended to sabotage Trump, the first Trump presidency. Speaking to Maria Bartiromo on Sunday morning futures, Vance said accountability for the hoax is coming, saying, quote, I want to see indictments, Maria. Look, of course, you've got to have the law follow the facts here. You don't just indict people to indict people. You indict people because they broke the law. We'll show you that clip in just a little bit. Again, it's good to see. It's, hey, they're the right words, but unfortunately, still words. Okay, so they're good words. Don't get me wrong. Very good words. We love the words. We need more than words. We need the indictments. Sure, the indictments need to follow the facts. However, the facts have been established for a decade now. Where are the indictments? Okay, wonderful words, but they're still just words. Meanwhile, National Guard preparing for DC deployment. Hundreds of National Guard troops are being prepared for deployment in the nation's capital. Fulfilling my prophecy from 2020, saying defund the police simply means federalize and or privatize the police. And that is what's happening in D.C. It's a little different with D.C. because it is a federal district that was established with the intent of not actually being a city, but rather being a sort of temporary housing location while the government is in session. So there's actually predicate and very good reason why the federal government should have control over the area in which their buildings are located. According to sources who spoke to Reuters, the National Guard is in the process of readying troops, although a final decision from the president about the deployment has not yet been made. The sources who spoke to Reuters said it's unclear exactly what the troops will do. It's possible the troops will be used to aid local and federal law enforcement as they attempt to fight rampant crime, including a spate of murders and carjackings. A recent brutal assault against a former White House staffer and DOGE member highlighted the dangers for workers in the district. I think I can speak for most of us when I say what we hope the federal agents are going to be doing is something along the lines of what you see in a Judge Dredd movie. We want to see them deployed in the streets to eradicate the menace. We'll get back into that because they're sort of pulling out all the stops. Trump apparently is going to make a big announcement today. I think it may be about this. It may be about Ukraine. Maybe about indictments and the Russia collusion hoax. The coup. The Russia collusion coup. But we'll bring you that if he goes live, you know, early enough for us to do that. But apparently he's going to make a big announcement. It might have something to do with the federalization of D.C. And they're also using like the FBI to police for street crime and stuff in Washington, D.C. because the powers that be do not want to actually make it safer, and we'll spend more time on that a little bit later. Meanwhile, Israel is at it again. Entire team of journalists killed by Israeli strike in Gaza. An entire team of five Al Jazeera journalists have been killed by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. Israel's military target Anas al-Sharif, claiming he was in charge of a Hamas cell and was directing rocket attacks against Israel. Al-Sharif was one of the journalists in a tent near the Shifa Hospital in Gaza City when he was hit. An official at the hospital and two other people were also killed in the strike. Al Jazeera called Al-Sharif one of Gaza's bravest journalists and said the attack was a desperate attempt to silence the voices in anticipation of the occupation of Gaza. And of course, they are moving forward with their plan to annex Gaza and invade it militarily. They're pulling up something like 400,000 reserve troops in anticipation of this. It's obviously hugely controversial, even within Israel, for Netanyahu to be pursuing this course. But of course, whatever happens, it's going to be brutal, and you're not going to want images of that spread through official media sources like Al Jazeera. So you're going to want to kill them first. You're going to want to prepare for the brutal occupation of Gaza by eliminating the people that would provide evidence of your future war crimes. So it's a war crime sort of to facilitate further war crimes. That's my supposition. But we'll get into, again, what Israel's up to, the Gaza plan, as well as the routine murder of journalists, I think, directly related to the cover-up of their crimes. There's some other speculation about this. The journalist posted his final report about 45 minutes before, and there's a lot of speculation that they were able to trace his cell phone location from that post and target him that way. Or maybe it was an accident. Maybe he booby-trapped himself. It could be that also. It could also be that he booby-trapped himself. Maybe it was Hamas. Maybe Hamas killed the Al Jazeera journalist. We don't know. We'll wait for the official word from the Israeli authorities. Meanwhile, Trump says he will meet with Putin in Alaska on August 15th for Ukraine war talks. U.S. President Donald Trump announced he will meet President... I'm laughing at another headline I read about this where it was like, Trump says he might invite Zelensky to the Putin summit. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe if we feel like it. It's like, man, to be a puppet. To be a puppet and to be forced to sit and watch 20,000 miles away while your master and his enemy debate your future. Very appropriate stuff. The meeting follows a plan Putin presented to Trump's envoy in Moscow that requires Ukraine to cede territory, including Crimea and Donbass, which Russia occupied since 2014 and 2022. Although Trump confirmed Putin does not need to meet Zelensky before their summit, Ukraine President Zelensky insists Ukraine must participate in any peace negotiations. No. He said that, you know, he's already like come out and been like, I reject Putin's proposal, and it's like, well, you aren't really in a position to do that, sir. So it's going to go on regardless and despite whatever Zelensky thinks that he wants. That's your Daily Dispatch brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to keep us on the air and in the fight. And I get another thing about the weekend. It's astonishing. It's almost hard to comprehend how every single person of any level in the freedom movement has some sort of personal relationship with Alex Jones. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I guess if you're in this movement for 30 years as a major figure and a lightning rod and everything else, it's like everybody has their own usually sort of roller coaster ride of a relationship with Alex Jones. It's usually ups, there's downs, there's in, there's outs. There's only one person that was rude to me the whole time. It was Scott Horton, believe it or not. Scott Horton was a complete jackass to me, which I don't understand. I like the guy. Went up to him. Hey, Scott, I'm a big fan. How's it going? I work for InfoWars. He's like, okay. I'm like, would you ever want to like come on or something? He's like, no, I don't want anything to do with you. And walked away. I was like, oh, all right. Jackass. Everybody else was great, though. Everybody else was fantastic and was very friendly. And again, it just reminded me of like what an important role InfoWars plays in this entire movement. Of being a lightning rod, of being a messaging platform, of just the power that Alex in particular wields with the attention that he commands. We would not be here today without Alex Jones and InfoWars, and we will not be here tomorrow if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. And by the fight, I mean, the same fight that Ron Paul started in the 1970s when he first ran for Congress, same fight Donald Trump is fighting, same fight I would say we're all fighting in various forms, in various ways, but with the same ultimate goal of freedom, 1776, the American way, the Constitution, and the moral character to uphold it. So we'll continue to fight regardless of what comes next. And again, just to even look back at where we've been and how we got this far. I mean, they were Daniel McAdams, fantastic guy, Ron Paul's co-host on the Liberty Report, gave a speech where he was referencing it must have been 2008 or 2012, but they were listing out the top donors or the top money raisers in the Republican primary, and they listed the top five, only there were only four names, and it was, you know, number one, Mitt Romney, number two, or no, there was no number two, number three, John McCain, number four, whoever else, because Ron Paul was number two, so they just didn't have a number two. And he referenced the joke John Stewart made about it at the time, which was, when did Ron Paul become the 13th floor of an elevator? When did he become invisible? And it's just, you stop and think about, like, man, they really pulled off some crap back in the day, didn't they? I mean, this was before, like, the real surge of social media where it was really prominent and a threat to the mainstream. They would put a list of the five top fundraisers, and number two just wouldn't exist on the list. It went 1, 3, 4, 5. And they just did that, and nobody noticed until, like, Jon Stewart, you know, noticed and put it up. But, like, imagine having the confidence to do something like that. What is that conversation like behind the scenes at Fox News? Where they have the list, they go, well, we don't want Ron Paul to be up there, because then people will look into Ron Paul and they might get some idea that you can be both a conservative and anti-war. We don't want that. You can be both a conservative and not John McCain or Mitt Romney, and we can't have people understanding that reality. So let's just remove number two. Like, it must have been a discussion where they're like, let's just remove Ron Paul and we'll move John McCain up to number two. They're like, well, we can't really do that. Maybe that's too dishonest. We'll just pretend number two doesn't exist. Let's pretend there never was a number two. Which is a crazy brazen con to try to pull on people. I cannot imagine us doing that at InfoWars, being like, let's just leave out the one thing we don't want to be in the list and hope nobody notices. That's how brazen they were back in the day when they didn't have alternative media to question and challenge them. But they're learning their lessons still to this day. And that's going to be a big part of the show today, is the attempts at censorship, the very real and horrible censorship going on all over Europe, of course. And I genuinely have so many gosh darn videos. I don't even know where to start. And now we're almost out of time for this segment, so I'll have to pick it up on the other side. But still to come in today's program, again, we have Patrick Byrne in the third hour. He's going to break some incredible news about what's happening in Venezuela, how it relates to the Trump campaign and their promises for justice, the crimes committed against the American people in the past. Again, this might be a correction from last week, although last week I was, you know, openly speculating, but there was a very coincidental alignment of anti-Venezuela moves by the Trump administration and Venezuela counter-signaling Zionism in places like the UN, which I think has something to do with it. In fact, it has a lot to do with it, but not in ways you might expect. I'm not trying to be vague, but I am teasing you, so you'll have to stay tuned for the third hour of that. We're also going to talk about how the Democrats are openly admitting now they plan a brutal and one-sided revenge against Republicans if they ever get back in power. And we'll talk about what's going on in D.C. and criminal justice around the world. In fact, we'll get into that next. Trump's going to make a big announcement later today. I think it's going to be about Washington, D.C. Stay tuned.
We were on the phone with our big sponsor, Bigly, this morning up in Arkansas. Great people. And it was their idea to have a VIP. If you're a VIP, you get any of the supplements, any of the t-shirts, any of the ball caps, buy one, get one free. And it's been a successful sale. But then they call up this morning and they go, well, we've done the numbers. This is basically not making any money. And I said, yeah, some of your sales are too good. I mean, with the t-shirts and stuff, there's only 50% markup on a t-shirt. I mean, these things cost just nice fabric, nice printing, everything. Like an XXL is like 15, 16 bucks. You're selling it for 30, and then you buy one, get one free. That's not making any money. So that's the paradox with these sales. It brings in a bunch of money, but very little profit. The way we get around that is, for those of you that really want to support the fight, not just get incredible products, there are three or four shirts on there that have markup that are $45 instead of 30, so we make 15 bucks, like the new limited edition Murdered Out Black on Black with the American flag on the right shoulder, InfoWars. Wow, that's a fundraiser shirt, I guess, at 35, I guess, if you remember. So I guess we make $5, $6 on that. The point is these are great deals. We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at point blank range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Warren Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday. shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They've turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go, and I stayed here and slept here a couple times, that we're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month. See it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store. Sales on top of everything. Special deals. Special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. And it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight now.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We got so much to talk about today. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And lucky for us, the Democrats are reminding us of why it's so important that we really push the pedal to the metal, hit the gas, and crush them relentlessly. Crush them into dust. Make sure and guarantee, by whatever means necessary, that they never get their hands on the levers of power ever again. Not because we don't like them. Not because we are tyrants that want to impose our will on an unwilling populace. But because the literal survival of our nation and our people depends on these traitors never getting back into office ever, ever. Look at what they did before the second Trump administration. So again, to hearken back to the debate between Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones last month, when Nick Fuentes said, when you go for the king, you better not miss, right? When you take on this neoliberal establishment, you better dismantle it completely. Because if you fail to dismantle it, all you're going to do is piss it off. And we've seen the level that they're willing to go to. And that was before you kicked the hornet's nest, right? That was after Trump's first term, which was Yeah, pretty much nothing. You know, nothing crazy, nothing extraordinary. Now, so far, this Trump administration is proving to be nothing extraordinary. Better than average, but not extraordinary. It needs to be extraordinary. This needs to be taken seriously. And we have to put these people in their place forever. Okay. All right. And this is our last chance to do it. Not because if they get back in power, it'll be a foregone conclusion and they'll just put us all in camps and we'll all just die, but because they're going to try. Okay. Because they're going to try to do that. And then we're going to have to fight them. And then it's going to all collapse. And then it's going to be real bad. So let's avoid the American people having to defend ourselves against the onslaught of a tyrannical government. And let's use our government to go after the tyrants that have already done this before, that have already sent Americans to prison despite never breaking the law. They've already tried to send Donald Trump to prison. We need to treat this seriously, okay? I know I say that all the time, but it's like nobody's listening, so I'm going to keep saying it until I see handcuffs on criminals. We're going to go to clip number 9 here. The story's at Infowars.com. Beto says, Dems will reopen borders and give mass amnesty when they return to power. Failed politician Beto O'Rourke has promised the Democrats will, quote, drive the car like we stole it. Yeah, okay. You ran the country like you stole the election in 2022, so, all right. They're going to drive the car like we stole it when they return to power, reopening the borders and handing out mass amnesty to illegal aliens in the country. Speaking on Saturday at an event called The People Versus the Power Grab, the former representative said his party must go beyond comprehensive immigration reform. Quote, we absolutely failed to live up to the expectations that we set, so next time we win power, we're going to drive that car like we stole it. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Beto O'Rourke promising retribution and a literal dismantling of the United States. I mean, at this point, the Democratic Party is not shy or coy about their intentions. They're some of their, you know, best leaders at this point, Beto O'Rourke, skateboard phenomenon, Beto O'Rourke, a billionaire liar, scumbag, fake Hispanic kept man, Beto O'Rourke. Sorry, what was I saying? about Beto? I hate this guy so much. Well, I'm not going to get distracted. Listen to it. Beto O'Rourke and these people are saying they're going to destroy the country. And half the country is cheering for them to do it. And we don't have to put up with it. We don't have to pretend like that's a valid view, okay? It's not. It's not a valid view. Be like if we're having a company meeting, we're all trying to figure out how to move buildings or how to do something, you know, that we all need to our input on. And one person's just like, what if we just like sell all the equipment and fire half the people? What? Not what? Why would we do that? And who are you? How did you get in here? No, all of our ideas, as varied as they may be, should at least be predicated on the idea that it's for the benefit of the country, not in a desire to see it dismantled and destroyed forever. But that is literally what the Democrats are pitching. Go to Beto O'Rourke.
You're not going to let him stop us. Are you with me on that? Andale. It also means...
You got Speedy Gonzalez.
As Mark was saying earlier, we don't await the punch thrown by these would-be fascists to land. We punch first, and we punch harder. We want California and New Jersey and Illinois and Maryland and every other state where the Democrats hold the governor's mansion, the assembly, and the state senate to redraw their congressional districts now, not wait for Texas to move first, to maximize Democratic Party advantage. Listen, you may say to yourself,
We got to pause it. All right, we got so much to do. Like, I cannot spend the time to go over the same thing over and over, but it's like these people just do the same thing over and over, and it just happens over and over, and maybe somebody's tuning in for the first time, and they haven't realized how obvious this scam is that they pull. Where they accuse the Republicans of doing something that they're not doing, and then the Democrats say, because we say you're doing that, we are now going to do that thing, even worse than we said you were going to do. Openly, admittedly, blatantly saying They want to redraw the districts to maximize the benefit for the Democrats. I mean, say what you want. Should there, like, I don't know. I don't even know where we are at this point. Because it's like, you know, part of me is like, I'm glad they're being honest about it. Because that is the truth, right? They are going to, you know, try to redistrict things to maximize Democratic power. And that would always be the case. So I don't know. Is it better if they go, you know, we're just redistricting because we've had population changes and we need our you know, congressional districts to correspond more closely with the demographics of the place. Like, is it better if they cover up their intentions with, you know, newspeak double talk? Or is it better that they're just like, we're doing this, it's a power grab, we're going to make the Republicans pay, we're going to redistrict to maximize our power over other people? I don't know. I don't know which one's better. I guess thank you for being honest, Beto O'Rourke, but also you should be arrested, I guess, or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, in like a normal, in a normal situation with a moral population, the exact same outrage pumped towards the Texas Republicans under claims that they're redistricting to maximize their political power would therefore be then immediately directed towards Beto because he's doing exactly the same thing. But these people have no morals. They have no moral compass. They have no legitimate political concerns. It is all pure, unadulterated power to them. And they're being open about it, which is good to see. But yet again, we're in this situation where it's like, now we have to do it, I guess. Now it would be stupid for Texas and Oklahoma and Alabama and any of the other states that aren't miserable hellholes, i.e. they are under Republican control. I guess we got to just eliminate congressional districts in those states now. Because why not, right? Because you can either have a country where both sides not just play by the rules, not just use the rules and adhere to the letter of the law while violating the spirit of the law at every possible pass. We can have a system where both sides follow the spirit of the law and adhere to the moral underpinnings that make our system functional, or you can have both sides simply doing whatever they can get away with to hurt the other side and benefit themselves. If you want to be a third world country, if you want to descend into the dog eat dog, just viper's nest that most of the rest of the world exists in. But one thing you cannot have is one side that ruthlessly uses power that they get to achieve their ends with absolutely no concern about fairness or balance or, you know, precedent that they're setting, with the inability to think second order thoughts of not just what happens when I do this, but what happens when the response comes. Like, they can't handle that level of intelligence. I guess that is an unsustainable paradigm. If we want to have both, we can have both. If we want to have neither, I'd rather have neither. Right. I'd rather we go in the boxing ring and we duke it out with our fists. But if the other guy's going to have a knife, I'm going to want a knife. OK. I'd rather duke it out so we can be friends at the end of it and shake hands. And not kill each other. But if the Democrats want to bring the knives to the fight, you have to bring the knife. Now somebody's going to die. Suddenly it goes from a boxing match to a death match. And if you didn't want it to be a death match, you shouldn't have brought a knife. So let's go back to Beto O'Rourke. But he just told you in his own words that he's calling on the Democratic states that everybody's fleeing fast as they possibly can because of the consequences of the policies that these dumbasses support. He's calling on them to redistrict specifically and explicitly to benefit Democrats and make it harder for Republicans. So again, it's like if the Republicans made statements like that, then everything the Democrats are doing would make sense and be legitimate, right? If the Republicans were up there going, we're going to redistrict Texas to massively benefit Republicans, and that's why we're doing it. And we're doing it with that goal and that impetus, and that'll be the outcome. And then the Republicans go, well, or the Democrats go, well, what the hell? That's unfair. We're not going to participate in that. Well, then you'd have a case. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that the population of Texas is massively changed, so they're changing some of the districts, which are already gerrymandered in a ridiculous way anyway. And the Democrats are freaking out simply because they would lose the vote. So let's go back to Beto O'Rourke, consummate fraud, doing what I perceive to be giving us the green light to do literally whatever we want to stop these people. Okay, so let's go back to Beto O'Rourke, not just insisting that the Democrats go no holds barred by all means necessary to achieve their ends. I think he's talking to us too, okay? Either we both play by the rules or neither of us play by the rules. But when you have your enemies making statements like this, take them seriously. Let's watch.
Well, those aren't the rules. Whatever it takes, we're going to take this to them in every way that we can.
There are no refs. There are no rules. F the rules. We're going to take this to them in any way that we can.
Okay, let me break in real quick, because honestly, like, in the metaphor that you laid out, like, if I know that someone's bringing a knife, I'm
bringing a gun. Exact. Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe a flamethrower. If I can get my hands on one.
I'm going to bomb the stadium from orbit. Why would I engage in a knife fight with a cheater? Exactly. And it's just, and again, it's just time and time again. I've used the same metaphor over and over where it's like, Republicans are in charge. We have the power. We have the gun at this point. The gun is sitting on our desk right in front of us. The Democrats are across the room yelling at us going, I'm walking over there. I'm grabbing that gun and I'm shooting you in the face, man. And we're sitting here with the gun, holding the gun in our hand going, don't come over here and grab it out of my hand. Please, please don't. We're trying to be fair here. And they just walk right over, grab the gun. And it's like, okay, the minute they yell that at you and start walking towards you, you can shoot him. You can shoot him dead. You can shoot him in the dick. It doesn't matter. Why would they do that? Because they're just that confident, folks. They understand that Republicans are such cowards. They're not doing anything. It's a brutal movie. It's pretty good, though. I don't know. Who's got the better scene like that? Austin Powers or Roger Rabbit? I think Roger Rabbit beats him out of creepiness. So I don't, you know, so it's just like, okay, oh, okay, all no holds barred. F the rules, you say. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to call for violence, but I certainly want to very badly. If that's the way it's going to be. Now, here's the good news. The good news is we still have the remnant, the tail end, the still barely glowing embers of the American system left, which even if the American people can be psyoped into cheering along with something like that, pathetic and frustrating, at least the system still retains some of its ability to stop the blatant extortion. Look, I'm not saying that I want Beto dunked into a canister of dip and dissolved, but I do consider him a cartoon character. But I do consider the validity of his public identity to be about as real as Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd. So there is that. I do think if you did put him into the dip, he would dissolve because he is a cartoon character like the judge from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, as you can see in this photorealistic rendition of Beto O'Rourke. He is a cartoon. He is completely fake and retarded. And now, apparently, incapable of participating at all in politics. And hey, you got to hand it to him. To be fair, I don't think I've ever seen anybody fail as badly as Beto O'Rourke for as long as Beto O'Rourke, especially when you consider where he started, which was nowhere and at the bottom. Like, typically you expect a fall to be from a great height. And the longer the fall, the greater the height. Beto O'Rourke has never succeeded in anything in his life, except for marrying a billionaire and using daddy's money to fund his masturbatory political ego. But he's never actually accomplished anything, which is amazing because somehow he's been tumbling down a mountain for a decade straight and still hasn't hit the bottom. It's incredible. It really is wild. Like, it'd be one thing if he was the Speaker of the Texas House, and then he lost an election, and then he lost another election, and then he lost another election. And so he created a super PAC. Since nobody wanted to vote for him, he would try to pull the strings behind the curtains. But now a judge has come in and said he can't even do that. He just keeps failing. And he's never succeeded. That's the craziest part. He has fallen for a decade straight, and he started off on a curb off the ground. Like, he fell, he's only fallen about 4 inches. Like, he started off as a wannabe politician, you know, daddy's boy, fake Hispanic scumbag from El Paso, and he still is just that. And yet somehow he's fallen for 10 years straight to achieve nothing, to end up where exactly where he was, on a skateboard with no friends. Judge bars Beto O'Rourke's PAC from funding Texas Democrats in redistricting standoff. A Texas judge has blocked former U.S. Representative Beto O'Rourke and his Political Action Committee from funding Democratic state lawmakers who left Texas to hold up a Republican-backed redistricting plan that could add 5 GOP congressional seats. The temporary restraining order marks an early win for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who sued O'Rourke's PAC, called Powered by People, for financially supporting Democrats who fled the state last weekend. The Texas House failed to reach a quorum again on Friday, preventing lawmakers from voting on new congressional maps as GOP officials float ousting the absent Democrats from office or seeking civil arrests. Which, again, guys, hello, folks, Beto O'Rourke, the ringleader of this circus, is telling you there are no rules. So why do you keep adhering to the rules? By all means necessary, there are no rules. So I guess strip the Democrats, and then when they say you can't do that, send them the clip of Beto O'Rourke. Go, well, you need to talk to your boy then. Because he's making up new rules, and we're just trying to keep up here. Tarrant County Judge Megan Fahey's order blocks Powered by People from using political funds to pay for travel, hotel, or dining for the dozens of Texas legislators who remain in Illinois, California, and other states. The group also can't raise money for these purposes. The order will remain in effect for 2 weeks unless Fahey decides to extend it. She's scheduled a hearing for August 19th. Paxton alleges the group engaged in deceptive fundraising and bribery by covering local and lodging expenses, travel and lodging expenses for the lawmakers who traveled to Illinois and other blue states to deny Republicans a quorum. The lawsuit claims O'Rourke and Powered by People misled donors by soliciting political contributions that were allegedly used for personal expenses, including private jet travel and luxury accommodations. O'Rourke responded to the countersuit, accusing Paxton of trying to silence dissent and dismantle one of the country's largest voter registration organizations. But hey, all's fair in love and war, and this is war. So I say go even, harder and farther, because frankly, this is not enough. This is not enough, and it's not anywhere close to enough, and we need to see arrests. So these guys still haven't been arrested. I mean, they've been talking about arresting these guys for 2 weeks at this point. They're all sipping pina coladas and, frankly, I don't want to describe what else they get up to in their spare time. Why haven't they been arrested? Why haven't they been ousted? This is nice to see Beto O'Rourke now precluded from contributing or participating in the political process at any level other than just casting a vote. I like seeing that. I do like seeing Beto O'Rourke go from being touted as a potential presidential candidate to failing to win a Senate seat to failing to win some other seat. I don't remember what he's run like 4 times in the last 10 years. He's never even gotten close to smelling a whiff of victory. And now he can't even use the money that his PAC controls, which is appropriate because his whole campaign was founded on the idea of I refuse PAC money, which of course was never true. It was always a lie, and his top donator was always a political action committee. But he did say that a lot. He did lie about that a lot. So it is ironic now that his PAC is being prevented from actually participating in the political process because he himself is now the operator of a criminal PAC that's using money to manipulate and actually fully, totally, and in a very real way, destroy the democratic process. And I think we can move on now. I think we can move on from that. But again, just like all this stuff, we need to see some arrest. We need to see a lot of arrest. We need to see arrests, for the love of God. Meanwhile, in other political news, Trump announces peace between Azerbaijan and Armenia. It's a long time, 35 years. They fought, and now they're friends, and they're going to be friends a long time. That sounds like a quote from Trump. Azerbaijan and Armenia signed a U.S. brokered peace agreement on Friday during a meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump that would boost bilateral economic ties after decades of conflict and move them towards a full normalization of relations. The deal between the South Caucasus rivals, assuming it holds, would be a significant accomplishment for the Trump administration that is sure to rattle Moscow, which sees the region as within its sphere of influence. It's a long time, 35 years. They fought, and now they're friends, and they're going to be friends for a long time, Trump said at a signing ceremony at the White House, where he was flanked by Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev and Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan. Azerbaijan and Armenia have been at odds since the late 80s, when Nagorno-Karabakh, a mountainous Azerbaijani region mostly populated by ethnic Armenians, broke away from Azerbaijan with support from Armenia. Azerbaijan took back full control of the region in 2023, prompting almost all of the territory's 100,000 ethnic Armenians to flee to Armenia. Trump said that the two countries had committed to stop fighting, opening up diplomatic relations and respect for each other's territorial integrity. This was an interesting conflict because it seemed like a lot of the typical divisions of geopolitics were reversed when it came to Armenia and Azerbaijan. But it had been a brutal conflict that we've been covering for the last couple of years. So very, very happy to see that end with the help of Donald Trump. And I believe they're floating, adding this to his list of accomplishments in the proposal that he win the Nobel Peace Prize. The agreement includes extensive U.S. development rights to a strategic transit corridor through the South Caucasus that the White House said would facilitate greater exports of energy and other sources. Trump, the peacemaker, coming through and ending a 35-year-long conflict.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see... Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USP grade at the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed but very on point, and the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well, so definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the Alex Jones store. com and get your methylene blue today.
Mm-hmm.